If this were television, I would probably resort to the old marketing trick of cute puppies and little babies on the screen to attract consumers' attention. Instead, I am just going to admit, just between you and I, that we're going to talk about regulatory change. But implore that you don't touch the dial, because this is really important. Paul Burke is the president and CEO of IFIC, the Investment Funds Institute of Canada, and he joins us now. Hello there, Paul.
Hi, Bruce.
When people meet you at a cocktail party and you say you're with IFIC and you talk about regulations, what do they, like, do they walk away? Do they go back to the appetizer table?
I don't talk about regulation.
Tell them socially.
Socially at
That's
parties,
smart. So, That's yeah. smart. My nephews are 15 years old. Let's pretend they're sitting here. What is CRM3?
Well, CRM stands for Client Relationship Model, which
yes.
is a regime that tries to improve the investor experience, improve disclosure, improve investor protection generally. And CRM3 is a piece of that. It has to do with disclosing costs and fees,
right,
which are really important.
And many Canadians have received their CRM2 statement in which a portion of that cost was broken out, the advice portion. This is a now recommendation, if I understand it correctly, to include the full MER, the full management expense
yes.
ratio. Why wasn't that disclosed in the first round?
Well, I think the regulator's priority with CRM2 was to get the cost of distribution
right
to the investor. They wanted to provide make sure the investor had a full sense of the costs and fees that went to their dealer.
Right.
They also came out around the same time, as you know, with the point of sale fund facts, which is another piece of the disclosure puzzle. Fun facts.
They're a bit of a boring read, you got to admit.
Well, you're making it interesting, Bruce.
Yeah.
So the idea was to get as much information to the hands of the mutual fund investor as possible. CRM3 is the last piece of the puzzle. It's the manager's fees. And so with fund facts, with the cost and fees disclosure, with the annual percentage performance report, and now with the fund manager's fees, the mutual fund investor will probably have the best disclosure regime of any country in the world.
There is some real dynamics in the industry with the regulators on how you balance transparency with the needs of the business and what is right. What is right? What should we be pushing for? Why did IFIC decide to be proactive and articulate its advocacy for CRM3?
Well, we think that, at a high level, what we're trying to do is to ensure that Canadians have access to investment opportunities, that they have a choice of investment products and services, and then get them at a competitive price. So that's what we're trying to do at a high level. And we think the more information that investors have about their mutual fund investments, the better they're going to feel about it, the more they'll be inclined to save. And, that'll have good outcomes for everybody.
Can I tell you what my cynical voice says? My teeny tiny little cynical voice says you could have just picked up the call and called the regulator directly. And my cynical voice is saying that you want to have the perception that you're being proactive here, that you're trying to get ahead of it, because so much of this feels like it's regulator driven versus member driven.
Well, we actually are getting ahead of it, not just the perception.
Okay.
So that was our objective, was to get this issue on the regulatory agenda. So we reached out to the CSA, made our proposal, and they replied very quickly that they're ready to work with us, and we have a meeting with the CSA and IFIC staff this week to start thinking about the implementation issues, how to get that management fee into the cost report.
One of the other elements of this is limits on Series A funds. So if I understand this correctly, I'm going to put it in the terms for a 15-year-old, is that Series A have an embedded fee for advice that you don't want in channels where consumers can't access the advice, like a discount brokerage.
Exactly.
How'd I do? Good?
Good.
Whew. Why would there be a need for a regulation on this? And I ask because, here's my example, snow tires as a standard option in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
You just wouldn't sell them. There wouldn't be a need to regulate that because a consumer in Jamaica can't use snow tires. The retailer would just behave with integrity. They just wouldn't sell you snow tires because it's Jamaica. So why would a Canadian fund company sell a Series A fund in a channel in which the consumer couldn't use that benefit?
Well, one example might be if the consumer really wanted that fund and it was only available in an A series and they wanted to buy it through the discount broker channel. They'd have to buy the A series. What we're saying is that, investors should only pay for the products and services they want. And the reason we went to the regulators is that the industry is much broader than IFIC. And if we are going to create a rule that would ensure that investors who are paying fees for advice aren't doing through a channel where you can't get advice, we don't want that to happen. And so what we're suggesting is that there be a rule that would cover the whole industry, not just IFIC members, that would make that a common practice across the industry.
You have a very hard job. And I say that because there are real business interests that your members have that seem to run counter to some of the regulatory change that you're now advocating for. How do you walk that line?
Well, we have a very strong and energetic board. And we engage in these discussions and issues on a regular basis, and we are able to achieve consensus. Our board members come to the table with the view that they want to improve the investor experience and do the right thing.
One of the things that was included in your press release is the Canadian MERs versus U.S. MERs. So your press release says 2.02% versus U.S. at 2%, which runs counter to what many other reports say, and this is a huge like Pandora's box of discussion. But I want to ask you, what is the difference in your math versus the CSA's math on MERs?
Well, it's the difference as to what is actually in the MER. So in Canada, typically you'll have the management fee, same as the states, but you'll have in addition to the management fee, the distribution fee and the HST, the tax, which neither one of which are included in the US MER. So we think when you compare apples to apples, you come up with a very comparable management expense ratio.
Does the U.S. investor pay 13% HST?
No, there is no, as I understand it.
They don't pay the tax.
There is no tax on investment advice.
It's interesting. It's a tough dynamic. Now, when I read that in the press release, I thought, okay, the point it's making is we don't have an MER issue here in Canada.
Morningstar has acknowledged this. And they have included it in their report, but they include it in the fine print.
Number 34.
But they have acknowledged that when you do a fair comparison between U.S. and Canadian MERs, it's very comparable.
And I just wanted to flag that there's different ways to think about it, and that you've got one that you're talking about here. But if MERs aren't an issue, why do you think some of the major players are bringing their fees down?
Oh, I think this is a trend that started some time ago. It's right across the industry. It will continue. Since January 1st, 25 firms have lowered management fees and trailing fees.
Wow.
So we haven't seen the end of this.
One last point. I wish we had more time to talk about it. I'm sure your members have very strong feelings about embedded commissions. And there's tons of learning about what has unfolded in the UK and Australia. What would you tell me now about how those discussions are unfolding and where you think it might go, where it should go?
Well, the CSA, as you know, has proposed banning embedded commissions. They would like to hear from everybody by June the 9th. We're working very hard on a submission that is backed up by research and evidence, and that I think when we submit our thinking to the CSA, they will see that the industry is putting forward a very credible and genuine effort to meet the regulators halfway by recommending certain reforms and certain initiatives, but maintaining investor choice to use an embedded dealer compensation model if they want.
If they choose it. Paul, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Paul Burke, the Investment Funds Institute of Canada.